Brother Sam, I've always wanted, during like a congregation like this, when a bunch of people, I've always wanted you to do like alley-oo, you know, with the kids, like an up and down thing. We're not going to do that right now. I've always wanted that, just because I'm weird. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Yeah, wouldn't that be entertaining? You get your steps in, and you're just standing there. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Turn, if you will, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Going to read a few verses right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And unlike Brother Eric, I have notes that I have to look at. Because if not, it'd be such a mess. 2 Timothy chapter 3, going to look in verse 10, going to read down to the end of the chapter, and then going to have Brother Manning pray, and then we'll get into some preaching. Verse 10 says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works."
Amen.
Amen. I've just been, every time I come here in the Jubilee, I usually take it for granted that the Lord would just show up. Just being honest, amen. But I've tried to make it a pattern every time before somebody gets up to preach and singing. I would just pray that the Lord just breathe on them, just use them, just touch them. And try not to take this place for granted during this meeting, amen. And the theme of it, of standing, is needed in today where everybody seems like they're just falling away. And I look around here this morning and seeing all these people who have made a willing effort to stand for a little while. At least a little while longer. Amen. Right. I mean, look in verse 10 right here, and we want to look at just in verse 10 and 11. I'll just give you a quick outline. In verse 10 and 11, you have Paul's past pattern of standing. It says, "But thou hast fully known." Like, it's past tense. You knew what I was back then. And we can go through it. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine," what he was for and what he was against, his manner of life, his purpose. That's what real standing is you have to have a purpose to do something, amen? Are you going to glorify the Lord? Faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You say, what is that? Standing in general is just a word, amen? Think about that just for a second. If I go to shake your hand, brother, my arm has to extend, or if I stand up, if I walk, if I talk, if I do anything, it is just a simple thing for me to extend my arm, because it works, to shake your hand, right? However, there's a whole lot of things that goes on. There's bone structure there, there's muscles, there's sinews, there's red blood cells flowing to give the muscles the strength and the ability to have life instead of atrophy, and then there's the brain that semi-work sometimes, and shooting things down to my spinal cord, and down to those muscles, and telling them to act, and tell them to react, to extend and contract, and to grip, and my fingers, and all the things that there, and their little intricate details that they just work. You say, what is that? That's just shaking a hand. It's just simple. It is simple to say, just stand. You with me? But just like right here in verse 10, it says the doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, the patience, it's all-encompassing to say, just stand. You have to have all these things, just like shaking the hand, to ensure it is. The doctrine, obviously, we know what the doctrine is. We're Bible believers. Amen. Can I get an amen one time? We're Bible believers. Amen. I like that. the manner of life. It's the walk matches the talk. It matches the preaching matches the practice, if you will. The purpose is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith. Think about this just for a second. If we're only doctrinally sound and we have no charity, no long-suffering, no anything, we won't let anybody cross that line to be on our side. Standing is not only against people, you want to change some people. And eventually, hopefully, it'll get on your side and stand with you to make up that hedge and the gap. Amen. And you have that. You have to have that charity or your faith, and your, excuse me, and you have to have that long suffering. You have to have that purpose, that manner of life, or your stand starts to wane one way or the other, and you become unbalanced, like Brother Joe was talking about. And it's easy to be pushed over and swayed with every wind and doctrine. And so you have to have a complete, full balance. And thankfully, I think you've gotten that view this week. You've gotten the complete meal, the whole package. You got the happy meal. Amen? Amen. And you got the little toy. Amen. That's kind of funny. You could laugh. If not, something's wrong with you. You'd just be too uptight. Come on. It's all right. It's okay. It's whatever morning it is, it's this morning. Okay? I have no idea what today is. I've just showed up. Amen? But you think about that. You have to have all those encompassing factors just to be able to stand correctly. Amen. And look in verse 11. Now granted, now this is Paul's past. And he had persecutions and afflictions. And the singing this morning was wonderful. I think of all the storms and the heartaches and the times of trials and struggles. And you know what the resounding factor was all that? It's at the end of that verse 11. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Because He's faithful, amen? It's faithful to always remember. Time would fail for it to go around in testimony of what the Lord has delivered you from. Now, I want you to think about that. Paul said he was delivered from that. But according to 2 Corinthians 12, he still dealt with some things daily. Paul, you were delivered from the shipwreck? Yep. Paul, you were delivered from the beatings? Yes. Paul, you were delivered from that thorn in the flesh? I was. Will you still have it? Yeah, but God's grace sure has been sufficient. Amen. See, oftentimes we think that it has to take and eradicate the issue for us to be delivered. Amen. However, that's not life. That is not reality. In so much that when you leave here and you go back to your life, whatever problems and persecutions and afflictions you left, odds are they're still going to be there. But His grace is still be sufficient. But thinking about that, that's what Paul was saying. He said, that's my past. That's what I've been through. That's what that's known about. You ought to be able to look back, even if it was this weekend, of all the stand that you've been able to have and the persecutions and the afflictions and Lord's delivered you from, and the times at the altar where you've been able to just see His grace be sufficient one more time and His mercy was able to endure just a little longer for you to be able to stand just another day. Amen. We're going to skip a few verses because verse 14 goes into the present. The present, it says, but continue. Yeah. In my Bible, I have it underlined and circled. You say, what is that? What's the present day? That'll be today. I just need to continue standing. Amen. Amen. I'll need to continue doing what I've been doing. I've been listening to all the preaching and trying to make it applicable to my life and where I need to shore a place up, that gap that I'm supposed to be standing and making up that hedge according to Ezekiel. I need to make sure I'm not leaning one way or the other because I'm off balance because of what Paul was talking about up there in his past. I need to make sure that my stand is just right because I have an idea what's coming based upon my past. That's what Paul said. He said, I know what's coming. Persecutions and afflictions coming because I know what my stand was. But continue. But continue. And we go through in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Over there in Genesis chapter 30, I think it's 30, 32, something like that. Laban learned by experience. First time it's mentioned. And we've heard all that message preached. We're not going to re-preach it. Brother Lambert did a great job with that, and that was a tremendous blessing to hear that. And you think about those things, how the Lord, what you've learned from your life thus far. What you can learn, it goes on in the passage, what you can learn from others. By watching them as they follow Christ, you can follow that man, and you can learn some things. But as Brother Lambert already said, the things that you'll learn that stick with you the most will be the things that the Lord has brought you through and from.
Amen.
You think about that, what he's brought you through and from. Either he'll deliver you in this earth from something, or he'll deliver you from the earth when you get to go home and get the ultimate deliverance. And I think about that thing of I can stand and I can continue because I know what the Lord can do. Preacher made a comment just a while ago that is, even though you hear the storm clouds rumbling and the fear starts to well up and everything, and the verse, I hope, the two words that stick with you are not Jesus wept, but continue. Paul, he got back on a ship after his shipwreck. Apparently he had a couple, because Acts 27 is a long one. And he got back on the next ship. Peter got back up. All the men in the Bible who we hold in high esteem got back up one more time.
Amen.
We don't hold people in high esteem that didn't get back up. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Like, well, they're quitters, they're failures. They're the prodigal sons. And you think, what is that? They have to be something in you to just want to continue.
Amen.
It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. This meeting should have assured you of a lot of things. It should have assured you of what you're standing for, what you're standing against, and ultimately, the brethren are for you, that you're not pulling alone, you're not pulling against the traces just by yourself. There's 7,000 that's not bowed a knee.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know their names doesn't mean they're not pulling.
Amen.
Amen. And you can have assurance that those men and those women, when you leave here, are going to be doing the best they can to continue.
Amen.
And they're going to lean into it every day. Every day of the presence, they're going to lean into the traces just a little bit, not knowing if anybody else is doing it, and just try one more day.
Amen.
To continue and stand. And they say that's the present. In 15 and 16, we could preach all day on how the Bible, it's interesting how Paul only mentions persecutions and afflictions and only has one verse on it and only one verse and what the manner of standing is, but then he has two verses, 15 and 16, on the Bible, amen,
yeah.
And the Scriptures and how important they are. And we can sure enough preach on the Scriptures and how important they are, and Brother Eric did a great job looking at how they're just amazing how the Lord put this whole thing together, amen. It's just, it really is supernatural, and how it strengthens you and how it enables you if you'll spend time in it, and it'll be personable to you. I was making a comment that C.T. Studd, he used to, every year he would take his Bible with all his notes and he would give it away. And every year he would go get another Bible. He would get a King James Bible from a different publisher. He said, I never want to know my notes. I want to know the book.
Amen.
And I said, well, I'm not C.T. Studd. I'm going to keep my Bible. Amen. That's why never a book will be read about me. Amen. But thinking about that, how important this book is, not only to us in this room, but people from all the past walks of life. The importance it is, and how that thing ought to just continue. Just but continue. And that's the present. And then in verse 12 and 13, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. That's the future. That's what you've got to look forward to, amen? However, it says, and all that will live. It is an option. It's an option to fake it. It says, yea, and all that will show up Sunday morning. No. Yea, that all that will just fake it while everybody's around. Yea, and all that will just change the masks that they wear from day to day. No, friend, it says, yea, and all that will live godly. And it's a choice to live godly today and tomorrow and the next day. God willing, when you make up tomorrow, it'll be a choice to live godly. with the understanding and the knowledge of doing so, you will suffer. You shall suffer persecution. And your persecution might be totally different than somebody else's due to where you're at in the world and culture and all the different things. But nonetheless, friends, you'll go through it. You'll get it in the neck. And I'm sure people here could testify of it this week and leading up to this week, how you've caught it and caught it and caught it because you chose to live godly in Christ Jesus. You should live godly because of verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I want you to look at this real quick. In verse 12, it says you have an option. You have the option to live godly. Amen. Right? That says that. But in verse 13, it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, whether you live godly or not. They're going to continue to be worse and worse. What you're standing against is going to get worse because less and less people seem to stand. The option that people have is verse 12 is, I just choose not to do that anymore. It's hard. It's hard. Life is hard. Enlisting in the army, enlisting in the Lord's service is hard. I'm tired. I'm just tired of doing it. There was a man in the Korean War. His name was Hackworth, and he eventually, when he retired, he was a colonel. And he wrote a bunch of books, but he wrote this book about the events that took place in the Korean War. And him and his platoon were in a they were charged with, as the Americans were leaving Korea, he was charged with the rear guard. He was charged with protecting the whole companies and divisions as they were pulling out of Korea. And he was to stand and he was to ensure that they were going to make it out. And he told this, he wrote this statement down, and I pray I never forget it. He said, we were trading ground for time. And as a Christian's life, it ought to be reversed. But it seems as though most Christians are trading ground for time also. We want longer lives. We want to have the experiences and the comforts of life that lead to complacency. We want to be here as long as we can. And so we'll steadily back up. Our stand will be here, but we're steadily backing up because we want the time instead of the ground.
Amen.
So thinking about that as you continue, but continue, you ought to sacrifice the time it takes to be able to stand and gain back the ground that the devil's taken from you and you allowed him to take at his will. Because your stand was been so inconsistent and let things pass. And as without charity and long suffering, you just got pushed further back and further back. And your faith was waning, got pushed further back. And you can look back into the past of where you used to stand. And now you have a semblance of it today. But you're further back than you used to be. With that theme, with that thought of continuing on, ensure that your ground is firm and you're not concerned about the time.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a great day for the Lord to come back?
Amen.
We all shout amen and hallelujah, right? And rightfully so. But where are you at now compared to where you used to be in your past of which you make so great a deal of?
Amen.
Are you still standing in the same place? Are you continuing? Or have you backed up a while and still saying you're continuing?